Like that one better. Calling to order the, or bringing back to order, House Labor and Commerce. We had adjourned at 4 o'clock, or we had recessed to the call of the chair to take up again testimony on House Bill 225. Committee members present are Representative Crawford, Representative Halco, and Chair Murkowski. We had cut off testimony after close to 4 hours, and I'm glad to see my statistician in the audience here to make sure that we're keeping a tally as to how many pros and how many cons we have on this issue. But we did not have an opportunity to get through the testimony from the folks in Fairbanks. We never made it to Ketchikan. We didn't get out to Bethel. And when we got to Anchorage at 6 o'clock, many of the people who had signed up to testify had already left. So my apologies to all who had waited. We did hear from a gentleman in Anchorage that it was the largest crowd that he had seen in at the Anchorage LIO. And for those of you that are on telephonically, I can assure you that I hadn't seen that big of a crowd in our committee room. We were in standing room only, so this is one of those issues that has generated passion on both sides. And as I indicated at the beginning of the committee meeting yesterday, I would like to give the opportunity to those who wish to speak to this the opportunity to do just that. Again, I'd ask you to limit your testimony to 2 minutes. If you have additional testimony that you want to submit in writing, please do that. Do so. I'll note for the committee members that you have maybe a half an inch of paper in front of you that is testimony either received from individuals who testified yesterday or who didn't have an opportunity to testify and decided to just send in their written comments. So I would urge the committee members to go through that written testimony as we listen to the comments. So with that, and I will just recognize that we do have two members of the committee that are also in judiciary right now, so I don't anticipate that they will be here. They're due to adjourn at 7, so if they get out and join us, that'll be great. I intend to go no longer than 7:30 this evening, just in the interests of letting people on the line know, in case you need to go home to your families for dinner, we'll be here till 7:30, or if we get done earlier than that, we can all go home and have dinner early. So at this time, I'd like to go back to Fairbanks. We had kind of cut you off in mid-conversation when we adjourned at 7:10 last night. So with that, let's go to Fairbanks, and I'd call on Jerry Lanier.
That's me.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I backed my testimony in just on the off chance to couldn't get back to us again tonight. So I'm going to be able to be very brief. I am very much for this alcohol tax in the interest of the fact that with a rising number of agencies and departments competing for the very few dollars that there are to spend, I think it's really the best thing to do is to add the tax so that the funding gets spread out just a little bit further. And thank you very much, because you have my testimony in front of you, so.
Great. Well, we appreciate you sending that in and for attending telephonically. Next, let's go to Andy Harrington. And as individuals come online, please clearly state your name and your affiliation, if any.
Thank you, Representative Murkowski. I'm Andy Harrington with the Arctic Alliance. I listened carefully to yesterday to Bill's opponents, and I thought it might further the dialogue if I tried to respond on at least some of those points that were made. Point one, moderate drinkers shouldn't have to bear this burden. My response is, no Alaskan consumer is going to have to bear this burden. We each are going to choose how much of it to bear, whether it's zero or paying a small amount or paying a large amount. enough. That's one of the bill's strong points, in my view. Point two, business may have to lay off employees or close down. Now, this is a legitimate point, and it shouldn't be ignored. But at the same time, everybody seems to agree that there is just too large a volume of alcohol flowing through our families and our communities. Decreasing that volume will probably mean that each seller will be selling less, and or some businesses may close down. I hope they can put their entrepreneurial skills into branching out or figuring out how to maintain a reasonable profit level at a lower volume. And I wish more power to them in that endeavor. But we just need to have less volume of alcohol. Point three, it's unjust to leave alcohol tax decisions up to municipalities. I don't think that is a valid point. Local governments are no less represented than state governments. The statement that the Fairbanks North Star Borough does not spend money cleaning up alcohol problems is just simply wrong, as any member of the Borough Health and Social Services Commission could attest. Point four, this bill won't solve the problem. Granted, it won't solve the whole problem by itself, but its supporters aren't claiming that. We do need other things. We need the lower DWI blood alcohol limit. We need better laws on minor consumption. We need more treatment programs. But those don't diminish the need for this bill, which is as important a component as those others. Point five, this will lead to more bootlegging, perhaps, but we have laws to deal with that, and if they aren't being enforced, that's a dollars issue, and this tax will generate more revenue to enhance that effort. Point six, we can't be sure that all this money will be spent on alcohol problems. That's true because our Constitution prohibits dedicated funds. We have to trust to our legislative judgment to decide spending priorities from year to year, as have all Alaskans since statehood. That's not a reason not to enact this bill. Seven, it's a 300% increase. Well, percentages depend on where you start as well as where you finish. If we need this increase to bring us up from a very low starting point to a merely low end point, we shouldn't be afraid of it for that reason. I've used up my 2 minutes. Thank you very much for your kind attention.
Mr. Harrington, thank you. I appreciate your brief little bullets. It was very clear and easy to follow. Any questions of Mr. Harrington? Okay, then let's go to Glenn Brady.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen of the chair or of the committee. My name is Glenn Brady. I am the president of Silver Gulch Brewing, a small brewery in Fairbanks. I'm also on the board of directors of the state char organization. And this is the relevant part. I'm also a bachelor of science degree mechanical engineer. And by virtue of that, I have an understanding of the use and abuse of statistics. With that in mind, I'd like to go over some interesting studies that I've come across that may be enlightening to the committee. First, according to the State of Alaska Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, there are strategy points laid out to reduce the negative consequences of alcohol and other substance abuse. Now, bear that in mind. I'm going to go through some facts. We've been hearing a lot of numbers and statistics. I'd like to go into some real, irrefutable facts. One, according to the Office for National Drug Control Policy, the total expenditures on illicit drugs in the United States were $65.8 billion in 1998. Two, during the same year, the total national output of money on alcoholic beverages was $84 billion. They're close. Three, according to numerous studies done on the effects of moderate consumption, that's one drink a day for women, two drinks a day for men, there is a clear benefit in terms of the reduction in the risk of heart disease. There are also studies that indicate, however, that moderate alcohol consumption in women increases the risk of breast cancer. Now, here's where I'm going to step in with an opinion. If we set aside statistics and try to examine some facts, we cannot safely say that moderate alcohol consumption is evil, nor can we say that it is a magic bullet. We can, however, say that there is a growing body of research that indicates what responsible use can have positive effects. Now, I don't know if, there are no tax revenues collected on illicit drugs. This is a fact. According to the data from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, there were 1.5 million people admitted into treatment programs in the country in 1998. Of those, 26.1% were alcohol only. Of the additional 20.3% that were classified as alcohol with secondary drug abuse. What this means is that about half of the people admitted into treatment had problems with alcohol. Now, while I don't know exactly how much the alcohol industry contributes to the economy with jobs, both in production, distribution, and service industries, tax I do know that the illicit drug trade does not contribute to the economy in any of these ways. For me as a small local producer, how this will affect me personally, all these national numbers don't necessarily translate directly to a state level. However, we can safely say that they probably have some bearing on what's going on in Alaska. But I'd urge you to not support this bill in its current wording, because this will affect me as a small producer by virtue of our already high price point on the shelves. Thank you for your time. Sorry I went over. Any questions of the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Brady. How much do you does Silver Gulch produce on an annual basis?
Last year we produced approximately 1,700 barrels in gallons. That translates out to about 60,000 gallons.
Great, thank you. Any other questions of Mr. Brady? Representative Helcro.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Glenn, we certainly appreciate your statistics that you put forward, but I think the one statistic that trumps all is the amount of money that we have to appropriate every year as legislators from the state budget to cover the costs associated with alcohol. And that's not a national study. That's a check that we have to write every year. So although we appreciate your statistics, I think the check that we have to write every year certainly gives a lot of merit to the discussion we're having with regards to raising the alcohol tax.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point, because I see the numbers I've seen in this advisory board on alcoholism and drug abuse report, which is what I would say is an anti-alcohol group. That's neither here nor there. The number is $250 million a year. That's the number we've been hearing thrown out. And the reason I bring up those national statistics, and as I mentioned, they may not be directly bearing on the situation here in Alaska, it doesn't take much of a leap of faith to say that they're probably somewhat close. You know, it's not going to be orders of magnitude off. And basically what it shows is well over half, up to three quarters of that cost are as a result of illegal drug abuse, not just alcohol. And yet in the sponsor statement, the statement is alcohol only. And that's kind of why I brought those statistics up, which are available over the web and irrefutable.
Mr. Brady, Representative Hayes has a question. I will note for the record that Representative Hayes has joined us. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Glenn, just out of curiosity, I'm getting a feeling that an alcohol tax is coming one way or another. It's coming down the pike. So I'm just curious, what do you think is an appropriate level then?
Well, as a charter board member, we've discussed this a lot, and I will say that in principle, I am not adverse to a reasonable tax increase. And with that in mind, I think any tax increase that is borne by the industry should go towards addressing the problems, of which, again, I won't say there aren't problems that we are all facing right now. We looked at things like a wellness court, educating children about the possible ill effects of alcohol and drug abuse. Looked at the fiscal notes on those. I think the number is 1.9 million, and then maybe we'll throw in another half a million for educational programs for elementary school students. So let's just say another 3 million generated by the state to fund these programs that we heard testimony yesterday actually have a positive effect. That would, to me, would seem reasonable.
Follow up, Representative Hayes? Nope. Okay.
Yeah, thank you much.
Thank you. Let's go to Nicholas Stone, please.
Hello. My name is Nicholas Stone, and I'm the director for Inroads to Healing Program for Fairbanks Native Association, which is an outpatient treatment service for people with addiction issues. I've been in this field for over 10 years, all here in Fairbanks. I used to think I might work myself out of a job, but now I know better than that. Thank you for this opportunity to testify on House Bill 225. I'm in favor of this bill, and what I like most about it is this. One, it doesn't put people in jail for using alcohol. And two, it doesn't prevent nor stop anyone from using alcohol.
What it does do is tax those who use, and those who use the most get taxed the most. Furthermore, given the nature of my business, I see those who use the most, and those tax dollars have a greater chance of better serving them. As we know, and it's well documented, those who use the most cost us the most, not just in treatment costs, but in all other costs in our society. It took Congress years to learn that tobacco was addictive. So let me be perhaps one of the first to say right now, alcohol is also addictive. Currently, we pay over $500 per capita for substance abuse. The majority of the states pay closer to $200 per capita, even those with populations close to our size. I don't have any misconceptions that the user tax will stop drunk drivers or that it will go to treatment programs, although I think it should, nor will it put down bar owners or put them out of business. Frankly, all this tax discriminate, all taxes discriminate, and I think this one aims to the correct audience. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Questions? Seeing none, let's go to Ken Lindley. Okay. Annette Freiberger.
Hi, I'm here. Just a second. Sorry, I pulled the wrong testimony up. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. My name is Annette Freiberger. I'm the Executive Director of Fairbanks Native Association. FNA administers four residential alcohol and drug treatment centers as well as long-term residential unit for chronic inebriates. We have the only detox unit serving a 250,000 square mile area, plus we have instituted an outpatient treatment center. Our treatment programs have been struggling with flat funding for more than a decade. It's getting more difficult all the time to maintain the expected outcomes with no increases in the budget to cover expenses like cost of living increases. Our staff is burning out at an alarming rate due to overtime and no break in service. We cannot afford to be competitive with private organizations that use medical personnel like we require in our detox unit, as well as trained certified treatment staff. Staff turnover is our most critical difficulty. FNA is in support of House Bill 225. We believe that the excise tax on alcohol paid by the people who use alcohol will relieve some of the budget burdens that the legislature has to deal with every session. If this tax is collected and redistributed to help support the programs that the abuse of alcohol creates, it would be of great benefit to the people of the state of Alaska. It would be only the users that would be affected. A full 10% of Alaska's population suffer from alcohol dependency, more than twice the national average. Alcohol abuse is Alaska's number one social and public health concern. The increase is not staggering to anyone except the heavy user. As heard in prior testimony, the majority of alcohol users are not abusers. Therefore, most users will not be heavily impacted. This small amount of money on each drink will have a very large economic impact on struggling programs. And I thank you for bringing this bill forward.
Thank you, Ms. Freiberger. Any questions? Seeing none, let's go to John Fowler. All right. How about Wayne Woodgate?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. First off, I'd like, just for the note to record, the conference room yesterday was completely filled, pretty much standing room only, as you can see by the people who signed on the roster. And just to let you know, most of the people who were against this proposed bill, as I am, are not here right now. Unfortunately, that's probably due to the fact that they have to work. I myself am a full-time student. I've been a bartender for 11 years. I had to leave yesterday early and didn't get to hear a lot of the testimony, unfortunately, so I'm not really sure what's been said. But just from my own personal experience, I went to go pick up my year and a half old son from his mother, who is also going to work. She also works in the bar industry. And maybe as you can see from the representation, you know, if anybody says that this isn't going to affect actual real people with real jobs, I think this is a very good representation of what's going on. Unfortunately, the testimony from the people on the opposing side can't be here to really speak their mind today, although they took the time off yesterday. So I hope I can speak for them all that we work really hard for our money, and this is something that we do for a living. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Woodgate. And we did have an opportunity to hear from probably about 10 people, I think, from Fairbanks, but didn't get through that list. And as you point out, there were a lot of people, not just in Fairbanks, but at all of the LIOs across the state that, due to the length of the hearing yesterday, did opt to go on and do whatever they were doing, whether it was going back to work or going back home. And I hope that we did get most of their written testimony.
Yeah, that's a good point, Madam Chair. Just to note, most of the people who are in this industry, unfortunately, aren't organized or getting paid to be able to be at these meetings, though. So just for the committee to recognize that.
Thank you. Is there anyone? That's all I have on my list in Fairbanks to testify. Is there anyone else there that I've missed?
No, there isn't.
Okay. Thank you to Fairbanks, then. Let's go next to Ketchikan, who we didn't hear from at all yesterday. Is Ketchikan online?
Yes.
Let's go first to Jim Elkins.
Yes, Madam Chairman, I just want to make a comment. I wish that you had rotated 2233 to different LIOs around the state yesterday so that this room was packed yesterday, and today there's just hardly anybody here. It's kind of disheartening because, believe it or not, we do have to go out and make a living. Anyway, my name is Jim Elkins. My family's been in the liquor business for 60 years. I spent 32 years active in it myself. My son now is the primary in our family business. Yesterday was an interesting day for me. I spent 2 hours of my time waiting to try to speak on this issue on a Murkowski bill. That I believe will cost jobs in Ketchikan, and then I spent the later part of the evening for 3 hours with Senator Murkowski, your father, who was in town trying to tell us how to save jobs and survive down here in Ketchikan. And so, it was a very interesting day for me, being a lifetime Republican and fighting taxes all my life to be here today before a tax has been committed. I find very disheartening. But anyway, all that aside, I'd just like to make a couple comments. In the last few years in Anchorage, the voters have unanimously turned down two attempts to put an excise tax on liquor, and then in the third election, they did something even better that I thought was kind of unique. Because they represent the most of the people in the state of Alaska. They passed an ordinance that said that at a referendum vote that three-fifths of the majority had to approve any tax in Anchorage. So that's 60% of the voters have to go to the polls and say, yes, we want a tax in Anchorage in the municipality. And I find it ironic that you would put forth a bill that would say that the rest of the municipalities in the state can levy an excise tax and not protect them the same way the Anchorage voters protected themselves. Most of the licenses are in Anchorage, and if you, in your municipal thing, if you want to pass it, put in there that at a municipal election it has to pass by 3/5, 60% of the voters. Then statewide, we have a level playing field. You know, it's not a level playing field now most places in the state because most of us pay sales tax in the state, except they do not in Anchorage. That aside, okay. It bothers me that some people think that there's a lot of money in this business. So there was a time when I think there was a lot of money in my father's time and a lot of money in this business. But you know, there's less than 400 people per liquor license in Ketchikan. Come down here and walk in our shoes before you take to the opinion that there's money flowing out of our pockets for other things. You know, we're already down from 10 employees to 6, and most of the people in our industry are single parents. Statewide, we're probably, the hospitality industry is probably the second or third largest year-round employer. And you want to help, you want to shut down that economic engine. And I didn't realize things were that great in the state of Alaska. I'm speaking on behalf of Char, that's Dan Char, State Char, which I'm a, been a, on the board since it started 30 years ago, has set a lot of standards and have helped create a lot of the good legislation in the state that, that have helped bring down alcohol abuse. And if you look at your own figures from the 1984 to 99, consumption is down because tax revenue is down. Now, obviously, you're not, if tax revenue is down, they're not, the consumption cannot be up. But I would say that as responsible people in the industry of what State Char represents, we don't mind stepping up to the plate and coming up with a reasonable tax to help pay down the deficit that, that the state's going to have. But where's oil? Where's fish? You know, we don't want to be the only one stepping up to the plate. And we have said that, and we have put a, put an offer out there that we think is reasonable. And I just think it, it bothers me that I get the feeling that some of the members on this committee almost look at us like second-class citizens and don't care what we say or what we do. And I, it really bothers me. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Elkins. And truly, if I didn't care what you and others within the industry thought about this, I certainly wouldn't take the time that I'm taking to hear all the public testimony. It is important to hear not only your perspective, but the perspective of other people that are affected by this alcohol tax. And so I know you're passionate about it. We have had a short opportunity to talk. I'm sorry that your day yesterday was a Murkowski day, and hopefully you said hello to me from my father, because I didn't even know he was in the state, so you know more than I do. Does anyone have questions of Mr. Elkins? Representative Halcrow and then Hayes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Elkin, you know, certainly as the Chair said, you know, we're taking public testimony. We are concerned. But, you know, we have to understand why we're here and why we're even discussing this. And the tremendous cost that alcohol has on society. And, you know, basically it's $250 million a year, and we get $12 million in return. And so, you know, and the alcohol tax hasn't been raised in 1983. And although that's no excuse just to raise the tax because it hasn't been raised in so long, the fact is there is a real cost to society. And we as legislators have a responsibility to not just the hospitality industry, but every Alaskan who lives in this state. But I just wanted to correct something for the record, Mr. Elkin. In 1995, there was an alcohol tax on the ballot in Anchorage. It passed by less than 2%. I believe it was 51% to 49%. The following year, and it wasn't just the alcohol tax that, that passed the supermajority level for new taxes. People were concerned because years previous to that, 1993, we had a sales tax on the ballot. There was other talks of sales taxes and other kinds of taxes. So the citizens, it wasn't just in response to the alcohol initiative. It was response to the fear of taxation, period. But
I said that. It was all taxes. I think I said all taxes.
Yeah, but
the point
just...
is, it was a three-fifths majority that has to pass by. And to implement a tax like that and not make it the same for everybody in the state is criminal, in my opinion.
Yes, sir. I understand that. And I guess that part, the municipal contribution has been taken out of the bill. But more importantly, even if it was still in the bill, the people of Anchorage would still have to approve any increase in the alcohol tax or any alcohol tax period by a supermajority.
Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Elkin, thank you for your comments. You said in one of your comments that the industry came up with a tax number reasonable offer. What was that reasonable offer?
To take to a caucus meeting some time ago, and my understanding that he kind of got door, but bottom line is that the state charge,
I don't remember that.
Has no problem stepping up to the plate to raise taxes to bring down the $50 million, $500 million deficit that the state is projecting. But we surely do not want to see the whole, to try to carry the whole deficit on our backs. When they're, you know, when was the last time we raised oil taxes or some of the other taxes in the state? You know, I think there's a lot of avenues out there. If we're going to be, it's responsible to help do the deficit down, but the tax and spend, I'm opposed to.
Thank you, Mr. Elkin.
Thank you. And just for the record, we did not beat Representative Cott up and throw him out the door. Is that correct, Representative Cott?
That's correct. I was beat up and they kept me in there. Hide up.
Okay.
Anyway, at least we can have some fun. Thank you.
We've got one more question here from Representative Crawford.
Mr. Elkins, I've been waiting for somebody that actually has been in the business for quite a while. I was wondering if you could go back in your memory and tell us what happened in 1983 when you did raise it the last time. How did it affect your industry at that time?
Well, it's a long time ago, and things were a lot different in the state at that time. You know, the pipeline was still cranking, if I'm not mistaken, and there was money flowing upside, downside, and every way in the state. We had logging in Southeastern was going full barrel. We hired for 16 logging camps in 83, which was about two-thirds of the camps in Alaska. I mean, there was jobs. We had one of the highest per capita transient workforces in the state at that time. So, I mean, the question you're asking is not relevant to today and to today in the state of Alaska.
I'm sorry, Mr. Elkins. I'll ask somebody else in some other part of the state where it's not depressed. I'm sorry.
I was under the impression that the state was kind of down all over.
Hey, if there's no further questions for Jim Elkins, let's go to James Elkins.
James? Yes. Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I'm Jamie Elkins. James Elkins. I run Folks Link. Third generation in the business here in Ketchikan. Let's address this $249 million number that the Bureau of Alcohol, the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse put out in their annual report, this February 2000 report. They admit as much that their numbers are based on national studies. So I went to the national studies. And in the 10th annual report to Congress from the Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism's 10th annual report to Congress, they state that the amount spent, the amount lost nationally, was roughly equivalent to $682 per man, woman, and child. However, state and local governments only end up having to pay for 18% of that cost, which in the state of Alaska would only be $77 million. However, that number also includes lost income tax revenue. And anybody who says that this isn't going to affect consumption or much, I disagree because, again, I point to the 10th annual report to Congress, where it says a 1% increase in price will effectively create a 1% decrease in demand. And now I don't know if a 300% increase in taxes is going to translate into a 300% increase in price, but it's definitely going to affect the revenue that's coming in. Nationally, statewide, consumption is down. And I just want to say that this is going to hurt me, it's going to hurt my employees, other local businesses, and I believe in the long run it's going to hurt the state. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Elkins. Questions? Seeing none, let's go to Donna Luther.
Madam Chair, I'll be brief. I've been in the representing. My name is Donna Luther, representing Kent Cancer. In Southeast, here with the decline of the timber and the fishing industry, tourism has become our number one industry. And let's face it, tourism is a hospitality-based industry, and that's what we are. We're the hospitality industry, and if this excise tax that is referred to as the 10 cents a drink tax, which by the way I believe is very misleading, if it's passed, the hospitality industry is the next to fall by the wayside of government. And there's a lot of people in this community and people that work for me, with me, they'll be, you know, affected by this, and I think adversely so. There are jobs at stake here. Let's be reasonable and realistic. A tax of this magnitude will give an employer no choice but to cut back his workforce. I can't think of any industry or individual, for that matter, who would not be opposed to a 300% increase in state taxes, as well as the potential for an additional 300% increase in municipal taxes. I just can't think of one industry that would roll over and say, yeah, tax me at 300%, I'll do it. So, but I'm not opposed to a tax increase. Clearly, it's been a long time coming, but what I am opposed to is a 300% increase, disguised as a dime. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Luther. Questions? Seeing none, let's go to George Tipton.
As Chairwoman Murkowski and committee members, I appreciate the opportunity afforded me to speak on this House Bill 225. I've been in the state for well over 40 years, and I've worked in about every corner imaginable, so I know a lot of the people, and I know a lot of the different situations that have gone on over all those years. I personally represent a few liquor licenses, and I know I'm speaking on behalf of many other, on the majority of my points. I believe the proposed legislation to be an unreasonable increase in its current form. It has been stated that more money is needed to pay for social programs. It's supposed to be spent $250 million, but only take in $12 million. I would really like to know where this $250 million number comes from. I also believe that not enough money gets to the education, treatment, and prevention programs because it is swallowed up in administrative overhead. I see this everywhere, and being politically active in the community and sitting in local government bodies in the past, I know exactly how that occurs. There's a number of varying agencies, federal, state, and local, that duplicate efforts, and it seems to reason that these need to be brought under one umbrella so as to be more cost-effective, thus getting the money where it needs to be. I also kept hearing yesterday from professionals on treatment and the program side about all the study data. Another question comes to mind, just how much money goes into these studies and away from the actual programs? Also, can anyone tell me how effective the treatment, education, and preventing programs are if they're being duplicated and not consistent in their factions? It seems we have many repeat offenders that probably take the biggest percentage of these dollars. This bill is a tax, or called a user fee, on one industry. But is it not all of the citizens' responsibility? I have never had kids in a public school system in the state of Alaska, yet I have paid a property tax millage rate for 30 plus years so the kids could get an education just as I got in the state in Juneau. There is no difference in my responsibility as a citizen of the state in that endeavor as it is here for everybody else. There were some questions that were asked by the committee members that I would like to respond to. Yes, we have drink menus in all of our establishments. I believe this question has been asked because it could be pointed out that the change to the customer wouldn't make any difference if the customer does not physically see it on a menu. Another question, who is the tax unfair to? The majority of the people who are the responsible drinkers, and it would benefit on behalf of the abuser that we would have to pay for. In the sponsor statement are some charts that reflect the alcohol beverages tax revenue with and without a CPI adjustment, as well as the current Alaska tax per drink. If we were to follow these scenarios, and because there has not been an increase since 1983, the increase bringing up on the CPI formula would be approximately 44%, were .0145 on beer and wine and .0192 on spirits. This is a far cry from what is being proposed. I totally oppose a tax on just the one industry and not on all of the state's citizens, but if this bill were to be changed to this rate, and I think that's probably pretty close to what the offer was made by the industry itself, as reflected with the CPI adjustment in the sponsor statement, I would suggest it be spread out over the next couple of years, as an increase of this magnitude in 1 year is unrealistic. Imagine the cost to my business if a bottle went from $10 to $14.40. Many of us struggle to survive, and we do our jobs very responsibly, as I have never had a liquor violation, and we go far out of our way to make patrons be responsible as well. Since we have heard many varying proposals for and against, consider another far-fetched one. You could fund the whole program, the $250 million, if that's the real number, with the state income taxes, it will supposedly generate exactly that amount annually, thus freeing up other general fund dollars for infrastructure, which creates jobs throughout the state. How unrealistic is this? Only you can determine in the legislature. It basically boils down to the fact the state must produce a long-range fiscal plan, just as we do in business, and one that will be effective at handling all of the current dilemmas, not just centering on an isolated industry and situation. This is an industry that currently has approximately 17,000 employees and an economic impact of $1.4 billion in the state. We are responsible as an industry, and we should not be forced to cover by ourselves the irresponsible acts of others and all of the associated liberal social programs. Alaska could become the highest alcohol tax state in the nation, approximately five times what Florida is, who is currently near the top of the passage of this bill. That's unrealistic. Thank you for the time. Is there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Tipton. I appreciate your testimony, particularly because you have, I have put a number out with my bill, and many of you within the industry object strenuously to it, but it's been very difficult. There's been a lot of conversation about, well, we agree to something reasonable, and yet there's been a hesitancy to say what that might be, and you have actually tied it to a specific increase. It's much lower than I would support, but at least you have volunteered that, and I do appreciate it. I would like to speak to your concern as to where this $250 million goes. I got the impression from your comments that you assumed that that went into treatment. Treatment is just one component of that expense. That expense is made up of the cost to the Department of Corrections, to the courts, to public safety, to all aspects of the state that are affected, certainly includes those treatment programs, but it is by no means limited to that. Questions for Mr. Tipton? Thank you. Next we'll go to Fran Wheeler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Francine Wheeler. I was here for 2.5 hours yesterday for the meeting as well with Jim Elkins, and now I'm here to speak to everyone again. And I just like to say I thank God that we live in a country where this is due process of our lawmaking. I'm representing myself as a citizen and also the daughter of an alcoholic. I have 12 siblings, and I am the only one who drinks. If that gives you an idea of how serious she is, and she's still alive and has no idea how serious she is. So I've seen it from both sides, inside and out. I've worked in the bar industry and the bars in this town for 20 years. I've worked in every bar in this town for seven, and I've never had a liquor violation of any kind. I take car keys away. I make sure people go home in taxis, which I pay for. We sometimes don't serve people for years on end because their life is falling apart and we won't watch it. That comes down to self-responsibility. I would like to say that I would like to see, first off, an overall tax placed as an alcohol preventative tax, or, as he said, an income tax if we have to go down to that, and then see it split between all of the industries in the state, and everybody can bear the brunt, because this is a social issue, and it needs to be addressed by everyone here. I hope that I'm clear when I say for all of us that we are not opposed to raising the actual alcohol excise tax a reasonable increase. Now, what that number is, that's what we want the time for. I spoke to over 200 people, and these are real people who live here. I lost my voice on Friday at work. Spoke to over 200 people, asking them, do they know about this tax? First of all, they've never heard of it. Second of all, asked what they thought of it, they said they didn't have enough information. If they were going based on the information they were given on the facts that was sent
I work at a bar. I'm representing that bar also. The bar is called the Arctic Bar. It has a place of safety and much benefit to our community in the many years it has been here. In fact, yesterday before this meeting, I was writing an article for the Daily Newspaper, a follow-up article on somewhat what some of the good customers and the bartender and the management had done to help a customer who had fallen and broken his hip. So there you go. There's an oxymoron for you. We were cited in the Daily News for something we did good for the community, and it happens all the time. Char does a lot of stuff and helps a lot of people, and a lot of money goes into benefiting all kinds of charities. A reasonable increase, that I say, that's why we want the time, and every single person of those 200 people said if given the chance, they want to look at this, and they deserve to have a chance to look at it. Otherwise, it is taxation without representation, and as far as I'm concerned, the 200 people who I spoke to represent a small part of a very, very big majority. We're certainly able to understand that alcohol, like any mind-altering substance, when used by certain people among our society, causes pain and many negative consequences. We also understand that in many cases it does not. Provides relaxation and it, many, many good memories come out of a night of celebration. I would like to paraphrase a man from Kenai, and I believe it was him. If it wasn't, it was another bright individual, so they'll have to forgive me. This fellow spoke yesterday. One of the things he said was that, I guess House Bill 225 is being put forth as a user tax. If you don't use it, you don't pay. Heavy users pay heavy. His idea was that if we solve problems in our society this way, and alcohol is a problem, we've all suffered when we count the negative effects, but we should carry the idea of the user tax all the way down the line. George Tipton just said it again. Public schools, we can go on to roadways, road taxes for people who don't drive or take buses. I mean, it can go on and on forever, but I think we get the point. Spends upon numbers in every political arena that there is. None of us are any different. 10 cents a beer or a drink doesn't sound like much, but if you know economics, you know that that 10 cents goes to the manufacturer, which goes to the bottler, which goes to the wholesaler, which goes to the liver, which goes to the retailer, and somewhere down the line, that 10 cents gets to the customer. Now, if we take that 10 cents from the state, add 10 cents from the city, add 10 cents from the borough, we have 30 cents. You take that 30 cents all the way down the line, and that drink that costs $3.50 is realistically going to cost $5 or $5.50. That to the people because that is what they understand, and if you are representing the people, then we put it to them so that they can understand it. That's what I would like to say, and I hope that you guys can understand what I mean when I say that, because that is really the way that economics will work. When they raised the taxes in 1983, and I think that before that they were collecting, they said yesterday, $15 million a year in revenue and taxes, and it went down to $12 million this year. Before that, it was a voluntary system. They put their tax money up there. Then we introduced this tax increase. We've lost jobs. There were real jobs lost back then. The industry didn't stop. I mean, whole businesses didn't close, but people were lost. And if you want to go back and look up what really happened, then look at the individuals who did lose their jobs because of the money that was lost. And I don't even know what the increase was in 1983, but I don't think it was 300%. Anybody know that, they could jump right in there. But so jobs were lost, and we have a winter time here that is hard enough to get through. I just spent my first one here in quite a few winters, and I'm telling you, it's quite a different town. So if you want to come down and spend the winter, you're welcome to stay at my house any time. So I guess I would like to say there's no earmarking on this bill. There's no caps to this bill. There's no anything. The way it's worded, I don't understand. I mean, it could go on and on forever. Maybe we have to propose a new one next time we want a new tax hike, but once we let it in there, we all know how taxes go. It's going to go right into the general fund. Yeah, taxes never go backwards, guys. We're going to let it right into the general fund, and then we're going to hope that some of it gets down to the people who you say we are supposed to be paying for. I think this is a society problem, and all of society needs to split this. Alcohol, I mean, we have to share in the cost of the treatment, the rehabilitation, the preventative, and so on. A lot of this starts with our children, and everybody knows in many, many areas, as far as public schools go, we need a lot of help in the area of our children. We need to teach them to love and not hate. We need to stop them from feeling separation. Love, to me, equals self-responsibility. This is not teaching any child self-responsibility. Char does so much in the community. We really, really have a lot of people that we are representing here, and all of this is going to go to my representative. So I spoke to a man from Gateway Human Resources yesterday, and he told me that if I could prove to him on paper where this would show him that there were actual losses of jobs, he might change his position, and I think a lot of other people would too if they actually saw what will really happen. Prohibition was real. The crime that came along with it, not to mention the death. Look it up in the history. I've looked it up, and it wasn't a very pretty sight. Revenue will be lost to every community in many ways that have already been stated. Many licenses that may not be around to provide jobs today and pay a lot of other taxes like school and road taxes. And so I guess I'm done now. I just strongly oppose to this,
Thank you, Ms. Wheeler. Representative Halcrope has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Wheeler, thank you for your testimony. I have a couple of questions, and please understand I'm not trying to be facetious. Your testimony was similar to what we've heard yesterday in different communities, I believe Homer, and there's some written testimony here in front of us from Kodiak. They talked about the local economy being down and how the local economy's down, people, fishing's been poor, and, you know, now by raising taxes, we're going to have a devastating effect. So let me ask you, once again, I'm not being facetious. If the economy is so poor in some of these communities and money is tight, should these folks be spending their money drinking in bars? I mean, is an alcohol tax really a worry about, really a worry for them?
Okay, can I answer your question? And I don't mean to be facetious either, but that was one of the funniest questions I've ever posed from a legislator or anybody there. Anyway, my answer would be that if you're looking at the overall big picture, I cited a couple of things like, yeah, it was a hard winter here, but that is not the main point of my statement at all. The main point is there is no way we should bear the brunt of paying this whole tax to any society. And if you ask the people who actually live in any community, if you ask the people in Anchorage, you gotta have a 3-cent vote, we want a 3-cent vote. If you ask them, they're gonna say, no, we don't think that one industry should pay for the whole thing. It is a society problem, and that is my point.
Okay, and just a follow-up.
The symptom of this, and we know.
Okay, and I've seen probably a half dozen surveys, and every one of those surveys, I'd say close to 70% would support an increase in the alcohol tax. But that's not my question. My question is, with regard...
Worded the way it should be worded, with the spin on it that there are on it in this propaganda, or what it was called, that's not propaganda, I don't mean to say that, but in the paperwork that I read anyway, the spins that were put on these numbers... Yeah, sure. Okay, let's give them our numbers and we'll sit down and we'll see. Scientific math is math. You can only work it one day when you come down to the real math. Now, if you're looking at which numbers you're going to hold as important, which numbers you aren't, then there's a difference.
Ma'am, one more quick question for you.
Sure.
Embracing your assertion that everybody in society should pay for the damages that alcohol does. Let me give you a hypothetical situation.
Okay, are you going to tell me a story? Are you asking me a question?
I'm asking you a question, but I'm putting in the form of a hypothetical. Okay? Because your testimony, if I understood you right, was that all of society should help contribute to the cost that alcohol causes. Is that correct?
Okay.
Well, I would say that since we claim $12 million from alcohol tax and it costs $250, I would say every Alaskan is contributing.
Okay, but I don't see an increase in any other industry than alcohol excise tax.
Ma'am, if I could ask my question, please. So here's a hypothetical. Let's say somebody's driving down the road. They are a non-drinker, and they are in a car accident. Somebody who is drunk, who has had several drinks one evening, runs a red light and hits them. Now, is it your testimony that the victim should all along been paying to help address this problem, or should it have been placed on those that, you know, contribute to the problem? It's not the same, because you're talking about the car doesn't cause the accident, the people cause the accident.
Okay, right, but it's not the same thing. They're not asking the people to now pay a tax for negligent drivers or people who don't learn to drive well. We're not going to have a class so that everybody goes to school to learn to drive.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name, but I just wanted to say, Mrs. Wheeler, this is Representative Crawford. I just wanted to say that 1975, when my wife and I were going on our first honeymoon, we spent one long evening in the Arctic Bar there in Ketchikan, and it's probably the friendliest people that I ever met. And I just wanted to let you know that we had a very enjoyable night there.
I don't have anyone else signed up in Ketchikan. Is there anyone present there that wishes to testify?
No, Madam Chair, there is not.
Great. Thank you, then. We'll move to Anchorage. And start with Rosalie Nadeau. Nadeau.
For the record, my name is Rosalie Nadeau. I'm with Aquila, and I'm here to speak in support of this measure. We do this as a tax on the users, not the industry. Now, I understand that industry people don't see it that way, but that is how we see it. We understand that this is not a tax that is going to be a dedicated tax to address treatment and prevention needs, but we are, I represent one of the larger prevention and treatment organizations in the state. And alcohol is the number one substance abuse problem in this state. We have 14% of the births in Alaska are FAS children, and that puts our rate twice the national and the lot highest in the world of FAS births. And that isn't drugs, that's alcohol. It's the one area I think that perhaps has worse impact than any drug one can think of, and that is on the life or potential life of an unborn child. Very little of the money that is the $250 million that has been bandied about is spent on treatment and prevention programs. In fact, of the budget that was set aside for the various programs that are impacted by alcohol, criminal, juvenile justice, corrections programs, the various programs that are impacted there, in 1998 was $324 million. Of that, 0.5%, that was 9.8% of the total state budget, and of that 9.8%, 0.5% went to prevention and treatment. It is, of course, our hope that with the infusion of some more dollars generated by this particular measure, more money will find its way into treatment and prevention. I think what I hear from the industry is that the assumption those of us who work in treatment and prevention programs make is true, and that is increasing the cost will decrease the consumption. I know that if I were a waitress or a bartender in a facility, a program that sold liquor, I would probably be concerned about that. I understand that. But I look at it from the point of view of what is the impact on this state of the abuse of alcohol, and I think it makes this measure not only needed, but a very sensible approach, especially if some of those funds are funneled into some of the treatment and prevention programs. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Nadeau. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you. Next, we have Alan Bailey.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Alan Bailey. I'm a member of the Coalition on Alcohol Abuse and Public Safety. I've been a member of the Board of Directors in the Anchorage MAD chapter since it was founded 19 years ago. I was also a member of Mayor Tony Knowles' 1984 DWI Task Force. And even 17 years ago, some of the members of that task force, myself included, urged the task force to recommend a significant increase in beverage taxes. It was not done. I was the Anchorage Municipal Prosecutor for 10 and a half years. And in that job, I learned through my daily work that the vast majority of crimes were alcohol-related. I have been a family law attorney in Anchorage for 16 years now, and the biggest problem I see among families involves drug and alcohol abuse. I sat in my office this afternoon and explained to a young woman how her husband's alcohol abuse affected his parenting, how when he's under the influence of alcohol, that he's emotionally unavailable to his children, and why that's not good for his children. Alcohol abuse in our community promotes or exacerbate domestic violence, child abuse, child neglect, health problems, the modeling of addictive behaviors by parents for children, and other kinds of dysfunction in families in our society. This is a cost that's not always part of that $250 million that the state pays each year, but it costs private people who have to hire divorce lawyers like me to take care of the problem. This bill, if enacted, would work to reduce alcohol-related problems in our society, regardless of what the legislature does with the revenues. Research shows that higher taxes, significantly higher taxes, significantly lowers alcohol abuse and the problems that it causes. That research also shows that even DWIs are reduced in societies that have instituted significantly increased alcohol taxes. Of course, you get a double benefit from this bill. If the legislature puts the money it generates into treatment, education, public safety, and alcohol law enforcement programs, as it should do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey. Any questions? Seeing none, we'll go to Tom Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Tom Anderson, and I am the acting executive director of Anchorage CHAR, an affiliate of Alaska CHAR, which I know you've heard a lot of affiliates today and yesterday. We're representing businesses. Anchorage CHAR is in the municipality of Anchorage, of course. And it's certainly a pleasure to address you regarding HB 225. For so many years, I was either the drafter, researcher, or presenter of legislation in Juneau, having worked with Representatives Miller, Martin, and the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee offices. This evening, I briefly want to introduce the new Anchorage CHAR organization and explain its goals and objectives, and hopefully provide some comments made by proponents of the bill, particularly yesterday and today, about lacking industry concern of alcohol-related problems. Our association has recently started its recruiting process for members, and I'm pleased to report that nearly every business I've contacted has joined. These businesses include food distributors, and tourism and marketing companies, and even a furniture sale, Coy Bailey. The connection to restaurants and hotels and bars these non-industry businesses have is really a collective concern about freedom to operate a business without undue restraint in conjunction with the promotion of a responsible hospitality industry. We've kind of bantied back and forth. You have pro and con, but I think the bottom line is everybody's concerned about health and safety and welfare. Certainly, I can say, I would say unequivocally, the hospitality industry is. I mean, yesterday's testimony flowed between individuals demonizing the liquor industry to testimony suggesting that a tax increase on alcoholic beverages will deter crime and abuse and violence, similar to the last speaker here in Anchorage. Interestingly, groups like Anchorage CHAR, like I said, have the same vision of reducing DWIs and alcohol abuse. We are being proactive in our community by our own membership and activity, like myself, member of Chamber of Commerce, Rotary, Community Council, to name a few. Anchorage CHAR has been in contact with Kevin Tubbs, and you probably read the article he was featured in yesterday regarding the drug Naltrexone, which is an alcohol addiction suppressant, and we've expressed an interest in administering this fledgling program that he and Brown Judges started to assist those addicted to alcohol through particularly a cooperative citywide, industry-wide effort. And we're also looking into Anchorage CHAR is researching the potential for a grant to the University of Alaska Department of Justice, their justice program, in conjunction with the Department of Geomatics to study. Basically, they can do maps and pinpoint through data just about anything. And we're looking at alcohol-related incidences and DWIs in the city, trying to work with APD and the like, and we will start that as well. So I give you these examples simply to say that we are proactive. The demonization is unfair. Anchorage CHAR has members throughout the city, active and willing to try to counter these problems. These ongoing endeavors, to name a few, I think are illustrative of the fact that we want to recognize health and public safety issues should be number one. I think that Representative Howcrow's deliberation over, since he's elected to office, is commendable. I've worked with Representative Cott, as well as you, Representative Murkowski. I don't think anyone faults the attempt to close the fiscal gap, and I think you've been stellar and staunch in supporting a reduction of waste in the budget and finding alternatives to the opposite of that. And yet, I think we have to be cautious. I mean, I've worked in legislative budget and audit. I've certainly worked on the ANWR issue. You can hear people say ANWR, we're almost out of oil, or we have a ton of oil. And I'll give the same analogy to you with this comment about alcohol abuse costing taxpayers $249 million. I would love to see the research on that. I recognize Columbia University, one of the universities did that, but I don't think it's necessarily accurate. And I think you must, as you are doing, take into account loss of jobs, wages, and lack of clarity on where the funds will be dedicated, in addition to the unfair increase as a whole. So I think these negatives and the disabling effect on the industry outweigh the benefit at this time. And I think, not to throw it to a legislative budget and audit, but I think an audit would be prudent. And I think at this time it would be better to continue the analysis and couple it with verification of these alleged costs to taxpayers and hold off at least until next session. And if anything, reduce the current amount of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. I really appreciate your testimony and kind of the updates in terms of what Anchorage Char is doing. I did read the article about Kevin Tubbs, and I have talked with Judge Wanamaker a couple years ago about his program and how he applies the naldextrin and really view that as a way to really get at the issue of so much of the problems associated with alcohol. As you probably know, we just passed out Speaker Porter's therapeutic courts bill just the other day, and there's a whole series of alcohol-related bills that are moving through at least the House at this point in time. We just heard Representative Meyer's bill this afternoon, which is supported by Char. Was actually brought to the Assembly a couple years ago by Brown Jug, and Mike Gordon spoke to it. This is the civil liability for minors who try to use their IDs to get in to either package stores or to the establishments. And so I think there is a real recognition that the industry is not blind to the problem and is not unwilling or uncooperative in the sense of attempting to address some of the systemic problems, along with things such as the therapeutic court, however, and some of these other measures, as I say, that are moving through the House. There are many of us, myself particularly, as I sponsored the bill, who believe that an increase to the existing excise tax is a component part of that alcohol package, and that's why I've brought it forward. But I do appreciate you just putting on the record some of the things that the industry is doing, whether in the Anchorage area or across the state. That's most appreciated. Representative Halker had a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Tom, I too would just echo what Representative Murkowski said. I certainly don't think it's anybody's intent here to demonize any of your members or anybody that's testified. This is a very lively debate, and it's probably the most contested debate I've heard in any of my committees all session long. But it does. I mean, as Representative Murkowski said, we certainly appreciate all of your members coming to testify. In our interaction with them, sometimes it may seem confrontational or facetious, but it's just we're trying to understand, some of their thought process and get a better understanding. Because, as legislators, we have a responsibility to everybody in this state, and we have to listen to both sides, and that's what we should do. But certainly, Tom, I can tell you just from the brief testimony I've heard yesterday, well, not really brief, but lengthy testimony yesterday and today, several of your members from around the state, from Kodiak and the gentleman that testified in Ketchikan, I've been in their bars. And I know they run wonderful operations, and they're good people, and they contribute to the community. I think all of your members do. But, you know, it certainly is something we as a legislature are grappling with, the difference between, what alcohol costs the state and what we take in, and trying to find ways to fund some of these programs that will solve some of the problems, as Representative Murkowski outlined. So I wanted to thank you for your very well-chosen words, and certainly want to tell you that I don't believe anybody's trying to demonize your members. We certainly appreciate their presence and respect the time that they've taken to show up at these legislative information offices and testify. So thank you very much.
Thank you, and keep up the good work. And, Pete, I thought of you when I was at the How How last week.
Thanks, Tom, for thinking of me.
Okay, moving on then in Anchorage, I have Jeanette Johnson next on the list.
Yes, good evening. I'm here to talk about what is going on in the bar other than selling a drink. Every bar around Anchorage and throughout Alaska usually donate money to different charitable organizations. And just as the month of February, my bar, which is the Crazy Horse, we sold $4,667 worth of Shamrock. And I guess in 89 through the year of 97, just for the MS Society alone, the bar turning in $500,000. Now, every bar around Anchorage has some charitable organization. They're donating money, they're raising money, and usually we have three different liquor distributors which always give us different things that we can sell or auction off to raise this money. So whether it's one disease, another disease, the bars are doing something besides just selling a drink. And I thought this should be brought to you guys' attention.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. And that is important to bring to the attention of the committee members that in fact, there are contributions from the industry in other ways. So that is appreciated. Questions? Seeing none, the next person on the list is John Patti, but I've received a message stating that he no longer wishes to testify. Is that correct?
Yes, he will testify now.
He will. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Patti.
I've submitted a written testimony, but what I'm going to do is go ahead and kind of read off what I wrote and submitted, and you'll get the written testimony, I guess, tomorrow. I heard your comments, Ms. Murkowski, yesterday in your opening statement about having the highest per capita of alcohol abusers in the country, and also the $250 million cost to the state. I'd like to comment on that, but first, I feel it's important for you and the committee members to understand more about what the hospitality industry does to support our community. First of all, the hospitality industry is very large, not only in this state, but across the country and the world. In this state, it supports thousands of businesses, their employees, and their families, not all of which sell alcohol. Many of these businesses are support-type companies. Hospitality industry members are people who live and work hard for their money to support themselves and their families. They also support the communities. Our industry members attend, support, and are personally involved in every aspect of our community, such as churches, schools, PTAs, community councils, nonprofits, charities, business organizations, government agencies, and many, many other organizations that are good for our communities. Our POCAP sales alone support thousands of charities and nonprofits that would not exist without our help. We work with the community council to help solve problems at the grassroots level. We train our employees to be responsible servers of alcohol. We implement we've implemented or are working on implementing many programs that address alcohol abuse, drunk driving, and even sexual assault. We understand the problems related with alcohol as well or better than anyone, and have and will continue to work towards solving it. Excuse me. I do not believe the hospitality industry should be punished by this very large tax. I don't believe the money generated will be or can be dedicated to alcohol issues. The cigarette tax and tobacco industry settlement money is a good example of this. Ms. Murkowski stated that we are number one per capita in alcohol abuse. This may be true, but because of the small population of our state, we are number one in almost any category you choose. Ms. Murkowski also mentioned the $250 million cost to the state. I don't have any scientific numbers, but I do believe our industry pays for much more of that than has been claimed. We pay it by our taxes, personal, property, sales, corporate, and other taxes, including alcohol tax. We pay it by our time and efforts involved within our communities to make them a better place to live and work. We pay it by the tens of millions of in charitable donations and sponsorships given to our communities directly or by selling full tabs. And we pay it by the local economies the hospitality industry helps fuel. Finally, let's not just throw money at our problems. Let's come up with some real solutions to solve the problems a small minority of the population is creating without punishing the rest of us or blaming us for a problem our whole society helped create. The hospitality industry members and their families, along with government and other concerned agencies, can do it if we work together. Please do not pass this bill. It will harm many of the people that make Alaska a great state. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Petit. Questions? Okay, seeing none, let's move to Don Grassi.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Don Grassi. I'm the general manager of K&L Distributors. We employ over 125 Alaskans in this state, which includes teamsters, administrative support, sales professionals, merchandisers, etc. We distribute our products to over 1,200 license holders in the state of Alaska. I'm against House Bill 225 with tax increases of 300%, with a 300% increase to our taxes. I've listened to quite a bit of testimony on this bill, both yesterday and today, and I'm against a bill that's designed to penalize an industry. What has been characterized by a lot of people on the opposing side as an irresponsible industry. I wanted to read some facts to this committee, and I could provide written backup to these facts if required. The percentage of teens ages 12 to 17 who report having a drink in the past month is 43% lower in 1999 than in 1990, and 47% since 1982. The 1999 teen drinking rate is the lowest level since tracking began in 1979. By the way, these are national statistics. The percentage of high school seniors who reported having a drink in the last 30 days is 12% lower in 2000 than in 1990, and 28% since 1982. The percentage of high school seniors who reported having five or more drinks in a row in the last 2 weeks is 7% lower than in 2000 than in 1990, and is down 26% since 1982. The percentage of college freshmen who say they drink beer frequently or occasionally is at its lowest level since record keeping began in 1966. The record low in 2000 is 15% lower than in 1990 and 34% since 1982. Signs of progress on drunk driving. The number of people killed in drunk driving crashes has declined 32% since 1990 and 41% since 1982, from 18,444 in 1982 to 10,867. In 1999. The number of people killed in teenage drunk driving crashes has declined 40% since 1990 and 64% since 1982, going from 3,500 in 1982 to
1293 in 1999. Today there are 2.2 million fewer teen drinkers than there were in 1990 and 3.2 million fewer teen drinkers than there were in 1982. There were 13,000 fewer high school seniors who report drinking today than did in 1990, and nearly 600,000 fewer high school seniors report drinking than did in 1982. There were 5,000 fewer drunk driving fatalities in 1999 than there were in 1990, and there were 7,500 fewer drunk driving fatalities in 1999 than in 1982. There were 870 fewer teen drunk driving fatalities in 1999 than there were in 1990, and 2,300 fewer teen drunk driving fatalities in 1999 than there were in 1982. In Alaska, drunk driving is down, or total fatalities and drunk driving crashes in Alaska were down 42%. Teen drunk driving crashes in Alaska were down 50% since 1982. Dramatic reductions in underage drinking and drunk driving over the past 20 years indicate that community-based programs, partnerships, personal responsibility messages are working. Parents, educators, retailers, law enforcement authorities, and others are seeing signs that their hard work to reduce the incidence of underage drinking and drunk driving is making a difference. Our industry will and has acknowledged alcohol-related problems, not only nationally, but in the state of Alaska. That's why our industry continues to work hard to fight alcohol abuse, as witnessed by the most recent testifiers. The manufacturers also promote anti-alcohol abuse messages regularly on TV and radio. Programs such as paying for taxi rides, designated driver education programs, and messages, speeches, youth drinking. The retailers, and I don't need to go into the detail on all the retail associations, whether it's local char, statewide char, ARBA, downtown partnership, license package associations, et cetera, have supported numerous programs that have impacted these numbers since forever. Holiday meeting, media warnings and radio messages, the TAM program, Techniques of Alcohol Management, which is run by the Char Association, taxi rides again, lobbying for House Bill 68 that was mentioned, or House Bill 214, which is the civil fines for underage drinkers, donations to youth court, community giving that exceeds hundreds of thousands of dollars by all organizations in the community. The distributors are doing the same thing, working with their retailers to support all these programs, having their own holiday messages that promote safe drinking and driving, or safe consumption of alcohol, taxi cab programs, youth court donation, boys and girls clubs, community support, and many of the events that you attend in your communities. The alcohol that you consume has been donated or supplied by industry members. Where K&L Distributing is involved in regular quarterly programs, whether it's Good Sport programs at Sullivan Arena, We Idea programs, which is national programs that educate retailers on proper identification, safe snowmobiling and skiing, brochures and programs, family talk on drinking, designated driver education programs. We've had speakers that have come to the schools in the past. In fact, the Anchorage School District refused to have a speaker speak to the students about drunken driving, who was a registered nurse, because the money came from K&L Distributing to support that. House Bill 225 does not solve any problems. It taxes responsible citizens and businesses for the abuse of a few. There has been no industry support for this bill, and that's because we believe that it will not fight any alcohol abuse problems in Alaska or anywhere. The industry feels that the higher cost of our product will not stop any alcohol abuse in the community.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Grassi. And you made the comment early in your statements that we must think that the industry is irresponsible. And as you've outlined, the industry is responsible in very, very many ways. I think the problem is that your industry deals, the product in the industry is a legal drug. And that legal drug is used, can be used irresponsibly by many. And well, actually, the testimony that we heard yesterday was rather interesting, that 80 percentage, that 20% of the individuals who drink irresponsibly. So it is a smaller group, but it is that use of that legal drug irresponsibly that has left us with what we're grappling with today. But I appreciate your comments on the record, and would ask the committee members if they have any questions.
I believe that the comment was, and I don't have the facts to back up this comment, but the comment wasn't that 20% of the alcohol consumers are abusers. It was the comment that 20% of the consumers consume 80% of the alcohol in the state, was the comment.
I think that's probably accurate. There's a couple people here that are shaking their heads in confirmation of that. Okay, with that, let's move on to Carol Jackson.
Good evening, Madam Chairman. My name is Carol Jackson, and I'm the credit manager at K&L Distributor. I have kind of a different perspective. We, of course, are a liquor wholesaler, and approximately 50% of our customer base purchases their alcohol on a COD basis. My concern as a credit manager is that that such a large increase will force many of the smaller businesses to close. Many of these smaller accounts don't have the financial resources to qualify for credit terms, which would put an immediate hardship on them just to get their product in the door. Their cash outlay would increase dramatically just to be able to get their normal delivery. For the hardworking business owners who already have a tough time making ends meet, and this time of year is really typical of that, as it stands, I have three NSF checks on my desk today, and it's not because they're criminals of society, it's just everybody hits a tough time, and this is one of those tough times of the year in Alaska before the tourists come. And then the time when they're gearing up to get all the alcohol they need to serve the tourists, there's a huge financial cash outlay for them then as well. And I see this huge increase in taxes is just increasing that burden on them, that they're already close to barely making it. It might be the thing that throws them over the edge. And we're not just talking about fewer liquor stores and restaurants, but of course we're talking about jobs and livelihoods. So I think we should question if this dramatic tax increase is going to benefit just a few people at the expense of many, and not just a monetary expense, but actually closing business doors and the effect the unemployment will have on those families. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson. Questions? Seeing none. Chris Anderson.
Hello. Thank you for hearing me today. I do agree very much with John Pate's talk, as well as Char's position, as well as Don Grasse. I'm really not going to recover that information. As many of you who know me, I'm part owner of the Glacier Brewhouse and Restaurant de Orso, and I consider myself a larger operator in Anchorage. Currently, we do approximately $2 million in annual sales in alcoholic beverages. Just a small reduction that this bill may cause of 10% would reduce my sales by $200,000 annually. I currently employ 225 people. I'm not suggesting that I would terminate much of my staff. I'd most likely raise some prices to offset some of that, but may need to look at alternative means to finance this cost. One of those means is I currently am donating approximately $50,000 a year to various channels in the community.
cash or any kind of donation. I also have been a member of the board, Downtown Partnership, currently the chair of the ACVB. I'm on the board with ARBA and many other civic activities, and those may need to be reduced. So what I'm suggesting is that the increase in tax would go to the government. Well, the money that's really doing the work, the $50,000 plus my time, may have to go away. I think that's kind of the reverse of how we want things. We want the industry to continue to make contributions to programs that do work. When I'm looking at the brewery that I operate, you know, we're looking for silver bullets every once in a while, and this may be a good one. This tax is a silver bullet that was definitely put the demise of the local brewing industry. You guys have all been tired of listening to the brew pub legislation, and this may be the one fell swoop that would stop that. The new tax of $16 additional to a keg of beer would raise the price that I currently sell a keg of beer to $131. You've heard a lot of testimony from bar owners who are saying this tax would cost them a lot of money, and what they're going to look at is a keg of Miller or Bud that currently sells for $75 in the state. The new price would be $91. That's still $24 less than they can currently buy an Alaskan brewed product. Now the price with the new tax would be $91. My price would be $131. We're out of business. This bar owner cannot purchase my beer or any other locally brewed beer and make any money. It puts us out of business. I am very supportive of a small tax increase. I really can't give you what number that would be, but I think there is a need for us to step up and make a contribution. But I do feel that you need to look at the industry as a whole and realize that the contributions that are really making a difference, the ones that John and Don have discussed and outlined very nicely, are the ones that are making a difference now. It is not the government that is, or anything legislatively that has lowered these statistics. The work that we've done as an industry, day and night, working hard to make a difference and lower the incidence of drunk driving, the incidence of alcohol abuse. And I know very factually, I had with alcoholics that what's going to happen is the light drinker may stop. It may very much reduce. The moderate drinker may drop this 10% as I've talked about. The alcoholic will find money. At any cost, they will drink. And we're not addressing that issue. And that's the three people that are really causing the problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Questions? Okay, let's go then to Kristen Holshue.
Now there's a Casey McDowell here.
Okay, I've got Casey McDowell next on the list, but there's no Kristen Holshue?
No, not here in Anchorage.
Okay. Then let's go to Casey McDowell.
Yes, Madam Chair and Committee, thank you for this opportunity to speak to this committee, as you probably hear me more than you'd like to. I'm Casey McDowell, and I represent Alaska Char. I'm their executive director. Just a couple things I'd like to bring out. We talk about the social things that we all do as Char members throughout the state and our different affiliates, and just the industry total to help in our communities. But what we have to also recognize, there's exactly direct cash going in to help these programs. I've heard the FAS, the fetal alcohol syndrome problem, brought up several times. Char alone has thousands of dollars in their budget this year, and we've been working with Representative Dyson and Diane Worley to help with this new fetal alcohol syndrome program for educating the public on this. And those exact 10,000 or so many thousand that we have in there, we know exactly where that money is going, and it's going to help one of the programs. It's not money going into just the general fund that we don't know what's going to happen to it. When we're allowed to do this kind of donations on our own, we know exactly where it goes. Higher taxes are going to crimp down my membership. It's going to crimp down the amount of money that Char has to give back to the community. And this will stop programs like this because we'll no longer be able to participate in these programs. Also, on this, another thing to give back into, a lot of the money that's given directly, the hundreds of thousands of dollars